your table.
Find them now!
Mildred blinked her eyes rapidly, willing her night vision to register. Flashlights, honest-to-God handheld units that had to run off battery power, threw beams across the interior of the computer center. Mildred marveled at their presence. Only a few years ago, by her personal clock, things like batteries were taken for granted, necessary nuisances available in every convenience store. In the Deathlands, though, they were seldom seen. For someone to be using them so readily meant their pursuers had a stockpile of them, or had the technology to construct their own. Neither theory left her feeling comfortable.
Split up! Two-man units! Don't try to apprehend them yourselves. Call for backup. We don't find and neutralize these bastards, Burroughs is going to have our asses in a sling!
Mildred recognized the name Burroughs from the journal entries. A flashlight beam whipped over the table above her. She immediately slouched further into hiding. Perspiration dripped down her face, soaking into the collar at her neck. For just a moment, the light highlighted Jack as he stole up behind a man closing on Mildred's position. His face was grim and unforgiving, and he held one of his leaf-bladed knives in a fist.
Clancy?
The beam of light tracked back, to reveal a man dumbly looking down at the gouts of blood staining his uniform blouse from his slashed throat. Jack was already in motion.
There, goddammit! Somebody take that fucker out!
Mildred stood up from behind the table, the Czech pistol in a two-handed grip. The flashlight that had been targeting Jack winked out of existence. Mildred locked onto another flashlight. Then she kept moving, guided by Jack's hand on her shoulder.
Door 10 feet to the left. Move! They're closing in!
Mildred ran, knowing from the firing lines that the group they were facing had already sectioned off the room and had nearly pinned down their location. Jack was a dark wraith ahead of her, barely visible against the sudden rectangle of the doorway they'd entered through.
They're making for the door! Cease fire! Cease fire!
Mildred threw herself through the door. She rolled, then pushed herself up, raising the ZKR in front of her.
We got power. I'll lock him in.
At the side of the door, Jack hammered a fist into a control panel. With a jerk, the steel door recessed overhead started to drop. Mildred spotted a rusted screwdriver amidst the debris scattered across the floor. Grabbing it, she rammed it into the electronic panel Jack had used to seal the door. Electric current, almost forceful enough to burn her skin, hit her hand before she could jerk it back. The tool held enough metal to burn cherry red from the electricity.
You all right?
I'll live.
You hear that?
Yeah. Sounds like we're not the only ones being attacked. Come on!
Burroughs felt the heat of the sun against his neck. He knew Cotter couldn't see through the dark lenses of his aviators. He peered past the one-eyed man, trying to see how many people were in the mouth of the installation and where they were positioned. A comm headset nestled in his ear and under his chin. It wasn't connected to a satellite relay the way it had been in the old days, but it tied him in with the tank crews.
I came forward to this truce with the understanding that we could work something out, Cotter.
I guess we couldn't. Seems a shame somehow, what with all the trouble you went to.
How far back in the installation have you been?
From the impression I get from you, standing here is already way past the safety mark.
The man was right, and Burroughs knew it. Besides the orders he'd been given all those years ago, there was also the need to keep Project Calypso secret for his own reasons. The Major kept perfectly still. He'd been bloodied in Grenada, Panama, Desert Storm, and the Bosnian conflict. Even while trapped in the installation, awaiting a time when the rad count would drop to a tolerable level, he'd kept himself and his unit flexible and fit.
How do you want to handle this?
I'll step inside while you stand your ground there. Then you can move off.
How do I know you won't simply shoot me down once you're inside?
I set up a deal, I generally stick to it. I'm not a man of honor, but I am a man of my word.
You've been out here a long time. I was hoping we could perhaps help each other.
Help each other do what?
Rebuild.
Rebuild? This installation?
These are hard times, Mr. Cotter. Hard times require hard men making hard decisions. This country still has enemies.
You aren't making any sense.
There are a lot of people out here who need guidance. Haven't you ever wished for more than what this place has to offer?
Sounds to me like you're all set up to carve a villa out for yourself and set yourself up as a baron. Maybe you can do that, and maybe you'll like it. Me? I've had enough of politics to last me a lifetime. And then some.
I'm talking more than a villa. Those places are founded on strength and domination, and driven by visions of lust and greed. I can offer more.
Considering your current situation, maybe not.
If you pull back inside the building, there's nowhere to go.
Just because you give a man no place to go, doesn't mean he's going to go nowhere.
Do you know what a bluff is?
Sure. Question is, are you running one? Or maybe you figure I am. I've got no problem with shooting you down where you stand.
I also notice you're standing right in front of that doorway. You're probably hard to shoot around.
Ryan!
Nice to hear from you, Mildred.
Sounds like your friend out there is going to need some convincing.
Sergeant Kennedy?
Yes, sir.
Stand down. Not a damn move until I give the order.
Yes, sir.
Burroughs watched Ryan, expecting the big man to be the one to make the first move. He wasn't. An impact slammed into Burroughs' right thigh. He'd been struck with enough force that at first he thought he'd been shot. Pain spread up and down his thigh. Out of reflex, he reached for the .45 in the counter-terrorist drop holster. The gun wasn't there. Ryan threw himself through the doorway. More bullets plucked at Burroughs' clothing, snapping through the sharp crease of his shoulder seam and whispering past his face, ripping through the loose folds of his shirt collar and making it stand out. None of them ever found the Kevlar body armor he wore. Whoever was shooting at him was good, but didn't mean him any harm. Yet. Burroughs went to ground and hit the button activating the communications link.
Fire! Fire! Hit the front of the building now!
Burroughs threw the other .45 from its shoulder rig as a cold numbness had settled into his leg. A quick glance showed him that the thigh holster had been neatly sheared away and hung upside down by the lower thigh strap. The markswoman had been a damn fine shot. He turned his attention to the front of the building as bullets chipped the stone outer surface and passed through the layers of steel underneath.
Kennedy!
Sir?
The inside team?
Their communications are breaking up, sir. Best we can figure out, they've been shut off in the old Project Calypso area.
There were only two ways out of the structure. Over the years trapped inside, Burroughs had made certain of that. If the other team had been shut off in the project area, that way was closed. And Ryan Carter couldn't hope to hold the other one. Even if he'd had the water and supplies and could tolerate the rat intensity still baked into the terrain. Burroughs gripped his pistol more tightly, then sighted along the barrel, waiting for his shot, with a patience that had been perfected over decades. Christy froze against the wall behind her. The S&W Model 640 38 caliber pistol was in her hand, loose and ready. Air moved against her face, and she turned and moved slowly in the direction it came from. Unable to see in the complete darkness, she felt with her gift, probing what lay ahead of her. Something. She wasn't quite sure what it was, but it had an alien feel to it, and it bore the cool, serrated touch of death. Christy swung the pistol above her in the dark, not doubting that it was pointed directly at the source of the noise. She reached out to the side with her free hand, leaning out from the wall she was using as her guide. Her fingertips brushed against the rough, rusty surface of the opposite wall. There was nothing in front of her or behind her. Then, a glimmer of light ignited inside a rounded hole, almost 3 feet above Christy's head.
Gaia!
She squeezed her pistol's trigger. Christy threw herself forward, her arms covering her head before she landed, protecting her face and skull from whatever might be covering the ground. Instantly, she rolled to one side and put her back to the wall. As she craned her head up to take in the blazing pyre that remained of what appeared to be a sentry drone, she broke open the .38 to reload. The drone was a spherical shape, almost a foot and a half in diameter. Twin tracks, only a couple inches apart, threaded across the center of the tunnel, hanging from occasional braces from the ceiling. The drone hung from one track, like a dead crow with 1 foot latched around a power line. The fire fed on the circuitry inside the mechanical sentry. A pall of gray-blue smoke whipped against the ceiling, then began to drop toward the bottom of the tunnel. Knowing the illumination from the fire wasn't going to last long, Christy pushed herself to her feet. The tracks hanging from the ceiling were powered, and the power had to be coming from somewhere. She dashed forward, ducking under the tangle of flaming wires that hung from the security drone. The tunnel ran almost straight, but on a decline that she could feel in her sense of balance and in the way her feet turned. The fire in the security drone flickered out, but before it did, Christy spotted the oval door at the end of the tunnel. She had to pass through the last few yards without any light, working from memory. She reached out with her hand, seeking the door. The metal was rough under a layer of